I didn't think I'd have to make this video. On April 24th, two people committed dumpling slander. And I have evidence.
Yeah. What are you eating?
Can I just have my breakfast real quick?
Was that a tiny... What is it?
It's a dumpling.
For breakfast?
Melissa, it is 10 a.m.
A little pocket of joy wrapped in dough? This one's got some cabbage and chicken in it.
For breakfast?
What's wrong with that? It's just like a vessel to put stuff in. You could have like a breakfast dumpling.
You can
have
you?
Like, you can put an egg in there if you wanted to. You can have them for lunch. You can have them as a snack. You can have them for dinner. They could be a whole meal.
Melissa, are you saying that you would eat dumpling all day?
Yeah, you could have a balanced day of eating.
Melissa.
Just dumplings.
You cannot live a balanced lifestyle on dumplings only.
Well, not with that attitude. And to prove it, I'm going to make an all-day dumpling menu, learn about different dumplings from around the world, to show you that you can turn anything into a dumpling, and eat it for breakfast, lunch, and dinner. Thank you to Skillshare for sponsoring a portion of this video, and to our patrons for supporting the channel. But first, what is a dumpling?
Let me tell you about dumplings, and why you should never disrespect the dumpling, because they are perfect. Point number one, to be or not to be a dumpling. The word dumpling is an Anglo word, and it can mean one of two things when we refer to the dumpling. Dumpling A, the glob. American chicken and dumplings, maybe Caribbean dumplings. This one may be controversial. The matzo ball, not called the dumpling, but glob dumpling is just the dough. But let me tell you where the real fun is. The filled glob. Here are dumplings that you may be more familiar with, but oftentimes these aren't even called dumpling, which I know may be confusing, but stay with me here. Let me take a little trip around the world and tell you about all of the dumplings around the world, because basically every single culture has their own version of dough with filling inside. Exhibit A, we have your traditional Chinese dumpling, also known as jiaozi, not dumpling. That's a dumpling though. Perhaps you've heard of the pierogi, Polish, Croatian, Levinsky, krafi, which is a pasta. Why is that a dumpling? We'll get to that. Australian dimmies, the Italian ravioli, or, well, this is an example of a dumpling that I just really like. This is my favorite. This is hagao. I had to put it on here because it's my favorite. Or potentially take a trip to Colombia or Argentina or Ecuador, where you will find the empanada. Go to India, you'll find a samosa. Korea, the mandu. Japan, the gyoza. The Jamaican patty. Let me tell you, there are so many more. We put together a spreadsheet and there was 300 dumplings. That doesn't even crack the surface, and I could not fit all of that on this slide. So what do all of these have in common? Why are these dumplings? A dumpling is an expansive, but also a specific type of food. What makes something a dumpling and not just a pie, a spring roll, a burrito? Hot pocket, how did that get there? So what makes something a dumpling? Raw dough, which is why a burrito is not a dumpling, that's a tortilla that is cooked. No wonder that every culture keeps on reinventing the dumpling, because it is the perfect food. Look at these beauties. You see that? You know what that is? Art. Brothy dumpling? You can put whatever you want in these things. This is literally ice cream. You telling me the dumpling doesn't have range? You can put a vegetable in there, a protein, and obviously all wrapped up in dough, a carb. And you know what that gives you? Not just love, a complete diet. In conclusion, the dumpling is an international icon, and we can learn so much from all of these dumplings. Different fillings, different doughs, different ways of cooking, different ways of folding, different ways that we wrap up our beautiful cultures in these little parcels and bundles of joy. So if I'm going to make the perfect menu and prove to these fools that you can have dumplings all day, I needed to make sure that my dumpling education was up to date. So I took a culinary tour in restaurant kitchens across Toronto to learn hands-on these cultures' take on the dumpling. My first stop, Li Chen Asian Bistro, a Chinese restaurant in Toronto offering a wide variety of different regional Chinese dishes, and notably, dumplings. Soup dumplings, also known as xiaolongbao, are one of their specialties, and they make all of them by hand. Chef Ding, who's been making these for over 7 years, showed me how it was done.
Roll the skin to very thin.
It's a pleated dough that's wrapped around a meat filling that, when cooked, turns into a soup. It's truly magical.
That is delicious. The texture, the flavor,
I'll be honest, I was the most excited to learn how to make this one. Besides dumplings, soups are one of my favorite foods. And to combine dumpling with soup, a work of art. Of course, other cultures have their own version.
Would you consider empanadas dumplings?
I would consider dumplings empanadas.
Some people may not agree on calling it a dumpling, but every culture honors the spirit of the dumpling. Check out these empanadas from La Morena, a family-owned Latin American restaurant offering a variety of empanadas and other dishes.
This is the way that I originally learned from my mom. It's kind of like a very simple crimp.
What's interesting about the empanada is that the filling is actually cooked before it goes in the dough, which is similar to how the samosa is made, also using a cooked filling. Chef Ricky from Ricky Tiki showed me how he makes a samosa.
You hold on to this right in the corner.
There's the cone.
That's it.
And I'll be honest, I've eaten many samosas in my life, but I've never actually made them before, and I was surprised at how simple it was to form one in your hand. One dumpling that I'm quite familiar with is the Italian ravioli. I visited my friend Leo from Familia Baldessare to learn more about stuffed pasta, but also to get a sanity check on my menu.
I was thinking of making a sort of breakfast pasta, turning Eggs Benedict
into a pasta. You want to make one?
I would love to do that.
We can make an egg yolk ravioli. We're just going to overlap it. You got to be really careful here because you got tension on that dough. If you go squishing this, you could damage it. So see that egg yolk? Like, see how soft that is? 1 minute. I think dumplings is the parent of Italian pasta. So the origin of filled pasta is still set to come from Asia. Just like we know it is with spaghetti. We know that came over as noodles. It's so poorly documented that it's hard to tell. So I would say the ethnicity of the pasta changes, but I think dumplings, ravioli, all that are just siblings, really, in like a larger food story.
These cultures, though geographically really far from each other, have something in common. And it was starting to become more clear what my menu would be for my day of dumplings.
You have a good starting point now. I'm really curious to see where you end up.
I'm designing this all-day dumpling menu to prove to these two that dumplings can be eaten for any meal. And if there's a dumpling that doesn't already exist, I will make it.
That's really close. Never mind. For breakfast, this is Eggs Benedict. English muffin, cured ham, poached egg, hollandaise sauce.
The superior cousin to the Eggs Benedict is the Eggs Florentine. So we're replacing the ham with spinach. What I'm thinking here, pasta, spinach, egg yolk, maybe some smoked salmon.
Hollandaise sauce.
Eggs Florentine, pasta for breakfast.
Now lunch.
The IKEA dinner, the Swedish meatball, is iconic. And no, that is not a dumpling. But we can make it into a dumpling. Ever heard of the pierogi? Uses potato filling in dough. IKEA dinner has potato. But also, the idea of putting cooked filling is kind of like the samosa or the empanada. Could be really good. Dinner, maybe my greatest invention. I told you earlier that soup is one of my favorite foods. Next to the dumpling. Dumpling and soup are kind of... It's a toss-up. But one of my favorite soups is pho. Another thing with the rice noodles, it's got the broth, the nice meats. This one's a chicken version of it. And chicken is actually my preferred flavor of pho. Obviously, not a dumpling. But we've also learned that you can put soup into dumpling. So what if we made a pho soup dumpling, complete with a rice noodle dough? Don't think that's been done before. I'm a little worried about it. Could you imagine if we were able to create a dumpling wrapper made with rice flour? I don't think that there exists a recipe out there for a rice noodle dumpling wrapper, but I think I'll be able to figure it out. I have a couple more groceries to do, but tomorrow we're gonna start breakfast, lunch, and dinner. I'm so excited! So here's the plan. Over the next 3 days, I'm gonna work on my breakfast, lunch, and dinner dumpling. I'm going to start with our dinner dumpling because it's going to require the most experimentation with the dough and the filling. If I can prep for the other dumplings, I will, but I'm mostly going to leave those for day two. So hopefully by day three, we should have everything we need to assemble and cook all our dumplings.
Usually soup dumplings are made with a wheat dough, but in pho, there's no wheat because it's a rice noodle. Rice flour has no gluten in it.
Gluten is a protein that provides structure and elasticity to dough.
So if you were to like add rice flour to water and like knead it a bunch of times, you would never ever make any sort of gluten structure. So folding that would be really difficult. Visually, the only thing that I can think of that was similar that already exists in the dumpling world is a crystal dumpling. So this is what you'd usually put in a crystal wrapper. Wheat starch, got tapioca starch. I also picked up some rice flour, which was what was originally suggested by Leo to use to get that rice flavor. Then also, when I was shopping, this was right next to it. This is glutinous rice flour. Judging by the name, glutinous rice flour, I think there's some gluten in here.
There's not.
Just kidding, there's no gluten in here. There's something in here that will make it sticky. I never made traditional crystal dumpling dough, so modifying the dough, not really certain about. For the soup dumpling filling, I'm gonna be making a gelatinized broth to mix in with the meat. So once it cooks, the soup melts. I bought some chicken stock, and to gelatinize it, you can either use gelatin. I didn't want to use that. I bought something else that is a plant-based alternative. This is agar-agar powder. It comes from a cassava root, but it also behaves apparently really similarly to gelatin. So I'm thinking I can just add that gelatinized chicken broth, pho broth, if you will, into the meat mixture. Then when I put it in the filling and I cook it, soup dumpling. But before I actually start to make these fillings and the doughs for each dumpling, I want to practice my folding technique because these doughs, a lot of them I've never made before and I don't want to ruin them with my bad folding. So I'm just going to make a basic dumpling dough right now. Flour and water and a little bit of salt. This dough should be pliable, easy to practice. Well, I need this dough. Can I tell you about Skillshare?
Skillshare is an online learning community with thousands of classes across different creative disciplines. From watercolors to oil paintings to
folding dumplings.
One of my favorite parts about Skillshare is how modular the lessons are. So regardless of your skill level, you can go at your own pace and find the lessons for the specific skills that you want to practice.
You can follow along step by step, practice with your hands. It's like Christina's in the kitchen with me, guiding me through how to fold these dumplings.
The dough is coming together.
And stretch it out into this long donut.
Donut. Okay. Bigger one. Oh, that's a big dumpling. So we fold it. Does she use water? No water.
I'll admit, I got a little too confident in my folding abilities and tried to rush through the class. Exhibit A.
Okay, wait, let me try again. Way too much dough, not enough filling. I think also the edges need to be thinner.
But once I actually followed the lessons, I can confidently say my folding technique has improved.
Wait. This is attempt number one, and then this one is attempt number two. But it is sealed. It's got a bajillion pleats. Right, these are my dumplings. Oh my god, they're so cute!
So if you want to follow along to this class or any other class on Skillshare, the first 500 people to use my link in the description will receive a 1 month free trial of Skillshare. Thank you to Skillshare for sponsoring this portion of today's video. Now, back to dumplings.
I'm gonna test out the dumpling dough for the pho soup dumpling. I wanna see how different amounts of rice flour and also whether we use cold or hot water impacts how the dough performs when we roll it and also when we cook it. I'm gonna try three different doughs. I'm gonna have one control, which is a crystal dumpling, wheat starch, and tapioca starch. And tapioca starch. For the soup dumpling, I really want to include rice flour because pho traditionally is made with rice noodles. And you don't really find a rice noodle dumpling dough in the wild because rice flour has no gluten in it. I want to still maintain that essence of pho. And rice noodles are like 50% of what's in the bowl. I want to try one dough with 30% rice flour, and then I want to try another one with 30% glutinous rice flour. So this is my dumpling dough matrix.
Because I'm inventing a new dough, I need to experiment with different flours to see what works.
It smells like rice noodles.
Now, the original recipe only uses wheat starch, tapioca starch, and corn starch. So what we're testing here is to see how different ratios of glutinous rice flour and rice flour affect the structure of the dough. So for my two test doughs, I used 70% of the original dry ingredients and substituted the remaining 30% of the dry ingredients with rice flour in one and glutinous rice flour in the other. So the only thing that's changing in this recipe are the ratios of flours. Everything else remains the same.
I'm gonna just do a stretch test because that's what I really need for this dough. Like this dough, very stretchy. So this is the original. This is, that has no stretch to it at all. Okay, let's try the next one. This is the one with rice flour. It has a little bit more stretch. Not that much structural integrity. It's definitely better than the first one.
A little bit off.
Okay, that has more stretch. It doesn't rip as quickly. I'm gonna try the third one and just see what happens. It's not the worst. Oh, it just tore. Ooh, it has several holes in it. The top looks so ugly. So this is the one that I folded with wheat dough. You can kind of see how many pleats I was able to get. Like this dough, if I wanted to stretch it more, I could. But this one, like I attempted to fold it, but you can kind of see how much dough is pooling as I fold and turn it. And then also like when I got here, just kept tearing. I'm gonna think on this a little bit more today, and tomorrow I'll just try a different recipe. Worst comes to worst, we just use this dough. Let's clean this up and let's work on some fillings. The first one that I'm gonna work on is the pho filling. I'm trying the ginger and the onions right now just so that they have a more caramelly flavor. Pho usually has like a pretty like sweet-ish note to it. And so I'm just gonna char them very, very lightly. Steep the chicken stock that I bought with the spices. While the broth is defrosting, I'm gonna work on the meat part of the filling right now. Usually the meat in pho is not pre-marinated. It's like cooked in liquid or poached. I'm just gonna add some of the spices and flavors that are usually served in the broth and add it to the meat so it has more of like that flavor of pho. I'm gonna stir in the clockwise motion. I don't know why, but I saw that somewhere that you wanna stir it in one direction. 30 seconds, maybe 20 seconds. This is our little meatball. I think because I stirred it a lot, the meat kind of like sticks together, which is a good thing. That tastes really good. It tastes really gingery. I think with the broth, this will be really good. Okay, it is time for the next filling. We are gonna be making the spinach ricotta smoked salmon filling that's gonna encase the egg yolk in the eggs benedict. The first thing I wanna do is cook some spinach. All right, so blanching is when you take really salty water up to a boil, and then you really quickly cook your vegetables in it and then transfer it into an ice bath. This one keeps the green color if you're cooking with a green vegetable. And two, it also just helps you not overcook your vegetables. I'm actually gonna give this a really rough chop right now because this is too big to pipe and it's just not gonna be good texturally. So I'm gonna give this a little chop. Let that dry. Boom. The smoked salmon next, and then the ricotta last. I'm just gonna finely chop it, but not make it into a paste because I just want like tiny little flecks of smoked salmon. 13% milk fat, 75% moisture. You can see that liquid kind of pooling on top. I have a linen bag. So we're gonna squeeze it, and I'm just gonna let this sit overnight. So this broth, I'm gonna bring it over actually. It's just been simmering on the stove for the past like hour. This is a very light broth. All right, we're gonna reduce this. We're gonna bring it up to a ripping boil. I am gonna take the spice packet out though.
While the stock is reducing, I decided to test out how much of the agar-agar powder I would need to jellify the broth. I tried two batches with different amounts.
Let's set this for like 15 minutes and see what this looks like at room temperature. I'm also gonna turn this off. She's very reduced. I don't know if I'm gonna have enough broth. I can always add water. That's good. That's delicious. This is a solid mass. So this is with the doubled amount. Look at that. This one is bouncy. Immediately, I can tell that the one that we had more powder in is much firmer. I'm gonna microwave both of them and just see what happens when I reheat it. It's liquid. I'm gonna do another test while those are cooling. I'm just gonna see if I can dice it. Okay, this is falling apart so quickly. I don't know if that's a good thing or a bad thing. See, this one just kind of stays in chunks. When I melt this one in like the heat of my hand, it has less of a grainy texture to it and it melts into something that is more liquidy, which is what I would want in a soup dumpling. Like this one, when I kind of run it through my fingers, it feels kind of gritty. What if you just do like half a teaspoon plus a quarter teaspoon? We've reduced a lot of liquid, so I'm happy to add a little bit more water in here. I'm gonna see how much we have. So that's one cup. Bring it back up to a boil after I measure it. Then add in the powder, and then I'm gonna set it in these cubes. Okay, well, that's a wrap for today. See you tomorrow. This kitchen is very hot, and I have many dishes to do.
So today, we've experimented with the dough for the soup dumpling, started the filling for it, alongside the filling for the eggs Florentine ravioli. Tomorrow, the plan is to finish up all the fillings and work on all our doughs, starting with our breakfast dough, our lunch dough, then hopefully our dinner dough.
Good morning, it's day two. I'm gonna make pasta dough and some pierogi dough right now because I know I can make those. I was at the spice store and I saw spinach powder. What if we put some spinach powder in half of the pasta dough? I don't know how much of this I'm supposed to put in. Maybe 2 tablespoons. One. Wait, is this gonna turn like an ugly color because the egg yolks are yellow? Is this gonna turn like brown? That does not look green enough. That was 50 grams. Oh my God, these eggs are so pretty.
How much of the budget did you spend on our eggs?
They were happy chickens, okay? I am just going to use my hands. 300 grams of flour. This dough feels a lot softer. So right now it looks like a mess, but it'll come together. Okay, let's try this spinach one. It does look like matcha. It also smells like spinach. And it springs back, which is what we want. I'm gonna call this one done. So I'm just gonna put this in a container so it doesn't dry out. All right, let's make some pierogi dough. This is pasta dough. This is our pierogi dough. This one has a little bit more spring to it as well. I also kneaded it a lot longer, but it's also just softer. Like this dough, I could like smush like this. This one requires a little bit more force. Now that I'm happy with both of these doughs, I'm just gonna let these go back and rest. Now I'm gonna start working on the dough for the pho dumpling. The biggest issue that I was having with the dough yesterday was that it didn't really have any like structural integrity. When I tried to pull the dough apart, it kind of just snapped, which is very unideal for forming a dumpling because if I want to even fold it over, it will just snap and all the filling will come out.
That structural stretch that I'm looking for comes from a combination of gluten and heat. Yesterday, I really cut down on my only gluten source, which is the wheat starch, and let the dough cool down a lot. Also, I ignored the part in the recipe that told me to make this over a stove. Turns out that was pretty important. But it's okay. I found a new recipe, and this time I'm gonna try to heat up the dough again before I work with it. So for this test, we're going to make 4 different versions of the dough. The first is the control. Then, similar to yesterday, we're gonna do one with rice flour, one with glutinous rice flour, and additionally, we're gonna try one with a mix of the two. An important distinction to make is that in this recipe, we only add the hot water directly to the wheat starch, instead of adding it to all the dry ingredients at once. What this should do is make it easier for gluten to develop, and that is what we want.
It's clear! I'm trying to mix this as fast as possible so that it gets every single starch while it's boiling hot. When I add the hot water, the dough actually comes together. And it's clear, like, if you were to compare adding, like, hot water to just all-purpose flour, it would be opaque. A little bit of translucency to it. Turn the dough onto a clean bench, flatten it slightly with your hands, and sprinkle over half of the corn flour. Using your hands, mix and knead the dough to incorporate the corn flour until smooth. Flatten the dough again, repeat the process, kneading for 3 to 5 minutes. This still has a lot less stretch, but it has stretch. Ready to go. This is my control. Okay, so next I'm gonna do the rice flour replacement. So remember that we have doubled the amount of rice flour compared to the cornstarch. So I wonder if this is gonna make this chalkier, but hopefully not. Okay, we're getting some stretch here. Glutinous rice flour dough time. This starch is so fine. If it like goes up in the air, like it's springing a little. On to the last one. The wheat starch is really what is giving this dough structure. The rice flour and the glutinous rice flour, I'm really only adding them for flavor and also just to get this dough to be like a more workable consistency. So I'm just gonna add a small splash of oil to all of them.
What are you looking for?
I am looking for this dough to be able to stretch. I'm looking for resistance, really, when I try to stretch it so that it doesn't break apart. I'm not certain if I'm finding that anywhere. These need to rest, so we'll check on them when we return. I'm going to trial each dough and form a dumpling. According to Marion, I need to get these doughs warm so that they become more pliable. So it's like, it's cold and it kind of breaks apart. So hopefully after we put this in here, it will be warmer. So this is the filling that we made yesterday. It's just the ground chicken with the green onions and the ginger and the spices.
Oh my God, it smells so good.
I mean, it's definitely malleable and soft, but I can feel when it gets cool, it's losing its like pliability.
You could also just put it back on top quickly.
Ooh, that's so smart. Okay, so we're gonna basically, no, it's tearing already. Oh, it tore again. This is what happens because it doesn't have stretch to it. Like if I want to really stuff this in here, this dough doesn't have stretch. This is the rice flour one. How the heck did that happen? Where did that both come? What is that? That looks hideous. I don't really think I can get away with folding or having the edges that much thinner. So that means I won't be able to like have as neat of an edge. If this was not a soup dumpling, I would be so happy with that being open. The aim is more dough than I think I need and thinner, but more dough so that I can always just like cut off the top. It's gonna be a toss-up between the glutinous rice flour and the one that's 50-50. But if we can get the 50-50 one to work, I would love that. I just think it's gonna taste better. Good night. Okay. Wait, they look pretty good. Sorry, pausing the shoot. I need to take a pic.
Always with the Instagram.
One with just rice flour is not that bad. The only one that tore was the one with cornstarch. Let's do the control one first. Let's cut this in half. If I ate that at a Chinese restaurant, I would be a happy customer. The filling's really good. Okay, I'm just gonna try the noodle by itself. Tastes fine. Tastes very familiar. It is a little thick though. I don't know if I can really get over that. Let's try the next one. This one has way more of a rice smell. Mmm! Really tastes like a rice noodle. A little doughy. I don't know if it's fully cooked through. No, it is cooked through. I think that's just the texture of this. Let's try glutinous rice. It's a little bit like spongier of a texture. I don't know if I like it that much. Can you see how thick that is? I'm really curious about this last one that has the split flours. I think I like that texture the best. The one that just had the glutinous rice flour was like kind of tacky and sticky feeling in my mouth. The one that was just the rice flour tasted like a rice noodle, but it is a little bit drier in texture. Like it's the most brittle. But I think that the one that has the combination of the two gives you like the best texture of dough, but also like just enough rice flavor to be like, yeah, that could be a rice noodle. I think we found it. Oh my gosh. I just need to practice my folding, I think, and then I think this is gonna work. Now that we know that the dough works, I think that it's time to move on to finishing the rest of the fillings, and then we can trial assemble all three of them. Where did I put the spinach? Oh my gosh. Okay, what we're gonna do right now is combine the filling for the Eggs Benedict. Eggs Florentine, I should say. So we've got our spinach here, which is nice and dry. And then we've got our smoked salmon that we've chopped up. It has a little hint of spinach in it. Oopsies. And then finally our ricotta, which has been sitting very patiently. So into this, we are going to add in all of the spinach. Yeah. And then our smoked salmon goes in. Oh yeah, the ricotta has dried out so nicely. This is a very firm cheese, which is great. So I'm just gonna put the filling into a piping bag right now. This is a good trick to fill a piping bag so that it doesn't go everywhere. Hang it over the edge of something tall-ish, and then try to keep this clean so that this is gonna be what you use to wrap up the bag. There's not gonna be anything dirty on the rim. Every time I say I think something's gonna be easy, every time I'm bamboozled. Let's see, can I pick Piper? So this is a little too thick and too dry. Okay, well, it's not really coming out of the piping bag in the way that I thought it was going to, but this is a tomorrow problem. So I'm gonna close this and think about it later. Next, I need to go get the filling from IKEA. I have returned. What do you think of when you think of lunch? A long day of shopping for your place. Maybe not even your place, maybe someone else's. Maybe your parents forced you to go to IKEA, but what is more delightful than the lunch that you will have after that grueling shopping experience, being forced to look at every single cupboard? They all look the same at a certain point. But you know what? Everything goes away when you have some Swedish meatballs. I'm not gonna make all of this from scratch again because it's already here. And honestly, it's not that bad. It's actually quite good. I did buy individual portions of everything as well. Shout out to the downtown Toronto IKEA. So what I'm gonna be doing with this IKEA lunch, I chose a pierogi dough because pierogies usually just have mashed potatoes in them. And I mean, IKEA dinners, lunches have mashed potatoes in them. But also it works out because pierogi dough is just like so substantial when you cook it. It's a pretty hearty dough. And there's a lot of hearty stuff we're putting in there. The mashed potatoes, peas, and the meatballs. And then this we'll keep aside for plating. I'll do a trial in this little bowl. All right, so that's one meatball, 2 spoons of peas, 2 spoons of mashed potatoes. Kind of like a shepherd's pie. This will taste so good in the pierogi dough. And then imagine both the sauces. I'm gonna mix all of this now. I wanna add a bit of black pepper to it, but I know that's not traditional. All right. It's done. Well, that was the easiest one. Let's put this in a container. Right, a little IKEA. Love your home. Filling number 2 complete. Now let's move on to the pho filling. I'm so excited to show you guys because I already peeked at it last night. I'm sorry. Look at it. The idea is that every single like piece of ground meat essentially touches a bit of the soup so that every single soup dumpling has enough broth. Let's get a little taste test. It still has a little bit of grit to it, but I think once it's hot, you won't be able to tell. But it still has the flavor. Okay, I'm gonna do a rough chop, and then we just add it to the chicken and mix it. I'm using chopsticks because I think that if I use a spoon, I'm gonna be smushing it more, and the chopstick also helps me break up the meat a little bit. I'm very happy with that.
With all of our doughs and fillings complete, it was time to practice. I began with my breakfast ravioli and my lunch pierogi. Things for these two were going pretty well.
I'm gonna use this to...
pretty well.
That is so cute. I'm amazing. That's so good!
I even realized that we do not need hollandaise sauce for our breakfast ravioli.
Because we put a whole egg yolk inside this pasta, it's already so rich.
So I was feeling pretty confident about these two. But then, it was time to face the pho dumpling.
I'm the most worried about folding this, especially having a filling that is so liquidy when it's cooked. So it'll reveal any holes in the dough. And this dough has not proven to be the most structural. So I think to try to keep this one in one glob, I'm going to use more dough than I think. I will heat up the thinly rolled out dough so that it stays warm and pliable. I think the biggest challenge is gonna be temperature control and working quickly. Just fold, it's fine, it's fine, it's fine. Oh, what if it doesn't close? Okay, what if I put too much? I'm scared. Okay, okay, wait, what if I just like, oh, I ruined it. This is so ugly. I'm just patching it up now. I just don't want this to come out. I'm gonna let this sit for a second. I'm gonna try to roll one more. Let's heat that up. Well, that's warming up. I want to trial a less complicated dumpling. So I'm gonna make a circle and then we're gonna fold it in half, basically. That's pretty warm. Okay, less filling. So I used about that. I used like a little bit more than that time. So let's use less. Okay, I think we're gonna be able to make this. Did I just do it? It's not as many folds, but it's sealed. Okay, let's cook them. I'm gonna crank this up. I think last time we overcooked them, so I think 10 minutes is plenty. I can't tell if that's steam or soup leakage. Okay, cut it open. That is a juicy dumpling. Hold on, it looks kind of gnarly cut open. It smells like ginger. Some of the pho spice is coming through. You know what is happening right now? I think I know why you don't put the soup in a rice flour dumpling. All of the soup is being absorbed by the rice wrapper. That is not good for 2 reasons. 1, the soup vanishes. 2, this rice noodle becomes gelatinous and kind of unpleasant to eat. If you feel that, that's just sliminess. Ugh. Mm-mm. Every time I think of a dumpling that has this kind of dough, the inside is quite like firm and dry. Like I didn't have this issue when we made the dumplings without the soup in it. This is so sad. It was going so well. This one didn't work out, but I'm not ready to give up just yet. I think I have one more thing up my sleeve that we can do tomorrow. Might not work, but I want to try.
So today we've completed both of our doughs for breakfast and lunch, as well as our fillings for both. Tomorrow, the plan is to assemble and cook all of our dumplings, but before, we need to make the toppings for each dumpling and figure out this dough and filling for our dinner dumpling.
It's day 3. I ended up spending a little extra time trying to troubleshoot the soup dumpling, and I actually found this dough does not really like moisture, and when you steam it for a long time, a lot more water is just getting into the dough. And then the other thing is that we have liquid inside, just made for a really gross texture. But I found that if you cook the dumpling for maximum 5 minutes, the dough is cooked and set and it doesn't get gummy. But what that means is that the filling doesn't get cooked in time. So my solution is to pre-cook the meat in the filling and then add a soup cube on top and then fill it. So it takes a lot less time for the whole thing to get cooked through and the dumpling cooks properly. So I'm gonna start today by remaking the dough because I used everything yesterday, including all the scrap dough. Okay, let's make this dough. Here's the recipe. Okay, next, since we're cooking this filling, I can actually kind of add some of the more pho spices into the meat, and I think I might do that because we're using a lot less broth. I'm just gonna add a little bit of white onion for flavor. I'm just gonna add like the broth. Now we're talking. I want very, very fine pieces of meat so that it's easier to peel. This is the fun part about cooking. You can kind of do what you want. All right, now that's all of our fillings prepped. All of our doughs are prepped. So I'm just gonna prep all of the garnishes and toppings for the dumplings. Once we cook all of the dumplings, just wanna have all of our garnishes ready to go. Oh my gosh, hello. About a third of a cup of sour cream. We'll start with one spoon. Lingon cream. Please note, this burns so quickly, so it's gonna happen very, very fast. And that is all of our garnishes ready. That's all of our fillings ready. That is all of our doughs ready. All that's left to do is assemble. We are going to roll some doughs now and just get them ready to be filled. I'm actually gonna roll on this block because an issue that happens when you roll dough on a counter is that it tends to stick. Wood absorbs moisture. So I'm gonna actually roll out the dough on here really, really thinly, starting with pasta dough. Let's check on our little spinach baby. It's so pretty. Have you ever seen a more beautiful dough than this one? I'm just gonna use a little bit. We don't need as much flour as we would on my countertop. I'm gonna see if I can roll it out actually to the size of this board and try to mimic what a pasta roller would do. Okay, I'm pretty happy with this spinach pasta dough. So I'm gonna set this aside while I roll out the other doughs. And I just don't want this to lose any moisture while it sits on the side because it's so thin. Okay, next let's roll out the dumpling rounds. Now that all of our doughs are rolled out, let's change gears a little bit and let's start assembling our Eggs Florentine raviolo. You may not be able to know, but I can tell. All of the part that was not covered by the silicone is completely dry, but that's fine because we're not gonna use that. I've got my plate, cornflake, crumbly toasty stuff, and then I've got some lemon zest. I'm thinking if I actually just mix it with some flaky sea salt. I'm adding a little bit of lemon because what's missing in this dish is something fresh. And hollandaise sauce does have some lemon in it to cut all of the fattiness that is going on. The lemon is just a little ode to the hollandaise. So I'm going to pipe this out. Based off of yesterday, I'm gonna use a little bit less filling because she's rich. Add our egg yolk. Oh, she's so cute! Why did I do this at the very edge when I had all of this space? Not much of a nest. I've messed this up so, so epically. The egg yolk is safe. Okay, let's fold now. I'm gonna just get a little bit more moisture. This has been sitting on the counter for a second, so I'm so scarred from before. I'm not gonna put any bowls of water on my work surface. Okay, let's fold. Good night. Oh, the edge is too close here, yeah. Okay, now we press very, very gently. This is gonna be good. Now we stamp. And hopefully it sticks together. My goodness, it's a green sun! It glows! Oh my god! It glows! Okay. This is only gonna take 60 seconds to cook, so I'm gonna get the plate ready. So we're gonna sprinkle this on the plate. She's going in! Ready? Good night. My goodness, it's working! I'm gonna take it out. Okay. onto this thing to dry.
Oh my goodness, she's soaked.
Okay, now we put her on the plate, right in the middle. I'm back. I don't know where I went though.
She's so ugly. You know what she needs? A little mentally unstable.
I make potatoes. But we're here. We have eggs, Florentine, raviolo.
With one little hash brown.
Now all that's left to do is cut it open.
Look, it's runny.
We did it. Okay, let's get some breadcrumbs.
Little bit of potato.
That's a dumpling. It's crunchy. It's creamy from the yolk and the filling. It's perfectly salted. It's spinachy. So Will, eggs Florentine dumpling.
Hell yeah.
We're gonna make our lunch dumpling now, which is our pierogi dough with our IKEA filling inside. And we're gonna serve it with our,
our lingon cream.
I have our peas, some green onions. This is a beautiful array of stuff. Look at that. All right, we got our rounds of dough. First, I'm just gonna put our sauce in here and I'm gonna put this back in the fridge because I need this as cold as possible. I'm gonna pan fry them after I boil them just so I have a nice crispy edge and a little bit of color. I'm also just gonna have a towel ready to go to catch them when they're done.
A teaspoon of filling.
Do some water. Water on the side. So what we do, we pinch at the top. And then we just wring our folds over. This dough is so nice to touch.
Okay, not bad.
I just need three. Give me three nice ones.
Oops.
Dough. All right, we got 9 finished little IKEA pierogies. I'm not really gonna put a timer on. I'm just gonna wait for them to float. Because when they float, that means the dough should be cooked through. And these are just gonna dry over here. They look pretty good. They may fall apart. There's actually quite a bit of oil in there.
2 minutes on the clock.
Oh my god, they're already getting golden. I'm gonna press it actually into the oil so that I get an even contact with the heat.
Oh my goodness!
We're gonna do one side.
Okay. This station looks like a disaster, but it's fine because what matters is what's on the plate.
We have IKEA pierogi with meatballs, mashed potatoes, green peas. In between each layer, I have some of this lingonberry sour cream so that each bite has some. Okay, I'm gonna take extra sauce on the back. I'm so excited to eat this one. Looks like that. So will IKEA dumpling? Yeah, buddy. It is dinner time, and we are going to finish making our pho soup dumpling. This dough has given us many, many troubles. Steamer basket, chuck! I'm gonna just give this a little mix. So we're gonna go in with about, do that much. Then let's get a cube soup. I'm just gonna, oh no, oh dear, I think it's still a little too dry.
Okay, test.
These are really, really dry compared to the other day. I basically like rolled them out immediately and then folded them, so I think they're just drying out right now. And I also have cornstarch on every single layer, which is also making them a little bit more brittle. I'm just gonna try to wipe off all of the cornstarch to try to save this. This feels much more pliable. So I'm gonna work pretty quickly. I'm gonna use less filling and just try to get a shape out of this. That feels really dry still. Okay, not bad. That looks pretty good. I'm gonna cut off the excess. It's our first one. This looks like hagao. I think I'm gonna have to go with the shape. I think this is what we're gonna end up with. Okay. Oh dear. She keeps ripping. I know that we spent some time rolling all these out. I think what I'm actually gonna do, I'm just gonna freshly roll one and really work it in my hands to get it really, really warm. Yes. Oh, immediately better. It is so much softer, so I can actually fold this without feeling like dough is gonna crack. It does not look like a soup dumpling, but it's close. Okay, I have 3. Now we steam them. I don't wanna block too much of the steam, so what I'm gonna actually do is put each soup dumpling on its own piece of parchment. Crank up the heat to high. We want this to cook in 5 minutes. Okay, we are at a steam, a very, very hot steam. Place them in, set a timer for 5 minutes. Goodbye. We're gonna go directly onto our plate here, and then we're just gonna top it with our garnishes. Smells like a pho station. You know what I also have for my takeout? Because I don't usually put a sriracha and hoisin in my pho. Okay, I'm gonna actually test it and make sure I haven't overcooked it. We have 30 seconds on the clock. My worst fear is that the soup comes out, that there's no soup, but I am going to take it off the heat, actually. This is not the intended use of this, but... That looks gorgeous! Are you kidding me? I made that? That's actually beautiful. Oh, I gotta put stuff on it. Okay, we're gonna do one little line. I don't actually even like the bean sprouts on here. What if we just do a little green onion? I like it. Soup dumplings! These look so good. Oh my goodness. Wow. Okay, I'm gonna eat the one on the spoon. I'm gonna just try it by itself. Do a poke test. Oh, it's oozing out, it's oozing out, it's oozing out. Do you see the broth? Oh my gosh, I'm eating it. I'm gonna eat it. It smells like pho. Tastes like pho. It's so hot! Oh my god, it actually worked! It's not slimy. It's got all the components of pho. It's got chicken. It's got broth. That is pho broth. It's got the star anise flavor. It's got that delicious gingery onion. So will pho dumpling. Play the angelic music. We did it, boys. Time to prove those suckers wrong.
I've solved all of my life problems by turning myself into a D&D character. I roll the dice to figure out which problem I'm going to solve. And then I roll another dice to figure out what the answer to do is. And then I do it.
Do you know what else makes all your problems go away?
Therapy.
Yes. But also... Wait. Hold on.
What is she doing?
There's one more. Hold on.
What do you think this could be about?
It's 10 a.m. I don't understand how she has this much energy.
I have made a breakfast, lunch, and dinner dumplings.
I was going to say no one asked you to do this, but we kind of did.
No one's going to ask. I'm going to tell you what I made. For breakfast, guys, I made eggs Florentine into a raviolo.
That's a turtle. Look,
it looks kind of nice. I'm not going to lie.
Isn't this the most perfect shade of green you've ever seen in your life? I'm going to show you what's inside.
Is it going to be gooey? That would be kind of fire.
Is it going to be?
Oh, it is gooey.
I made that.
Ooh, okay. Low key, I think we should open a store called Melissa's All Day Dumpling Store.
How quickly were you convinced off of one dumpling?
It looks fire. I'm not going to lie. It's kind of sick.
Okay, guys. For lunch. There's an entire IKEA lunch in this pierogi.
You mean IKEA meatballs?
And the mashed potatoes. And the peas.
Like, how do you fit everything in such a small, flat-pack pierogi?
Ooh!
Okay, guys, ready for number 3? Are you ready for dinner?
A faux dump.
Guys, don't even know how much I struggled to make these. Wait, I wanted...
normal dumplings are dinner food. Why did you struggle the most?
I made a fusion dumpling. I turned my favorite soup into a dumpling. It's so juicy. This one's cold right now, so I'm not gonna cut it open. You have to see the soup.
30 seconds.
Guys, I put pho broth and I gelatinized it. Cut it in half. You can see.
Okay.
Your hand is in the way. Move your hand.
Do you see the liquid?
This one, less impressive. I don't know why you had to reinvent the dinner dumpling. Our contention was, why are you eating dumplings for breakfast? I'm convinced you could eat dumplings breakfast, lunch, and dinner. Here's what I'm not convinced about. You had to invent new recipes in order to prove your point. She did all of this to seem more normal, to have a veneer of like, oh yeah, I'm having breakfast food for breakfast. But everyone knows she is a weirdo that would eat dumplings, breakfast, lunch, and dinner.
The same dinner dumpling, frozen from a bag.
There's still nothing wrong with that.
I rest my case.
It's crazy that Melissa's literally just a raccoon in a trench coat.
She can't argue because her mouth is full of dumplings right now.